I'm Amy, sex educator, sex and relationship coach, and co-owner of PurePleasureShop.com.
And I'm April, sex toy maven, VP of Hot Octopus, and I've dedicated my life to the business of sex. We're two people with a passion for educating and inspiring shame-free conversations about sex and relationships.
Welcome to the Shameless Sex Revolution. Want to learn more? Go to shamelesssex.com. And for 15% off of some of our favorite sex toys, use coupon code SHAMELESSSEX at purepleasureshop.com.
You are listening to a pleasure podcast. For more from our sex podcast collective, visit pleasurepodcasts.com.
Well, hello, everyone.
Hi, everybody.
Welcome back to the Shameless Sex Podcast. So this episode is with Brianne Hogan from the Seriously Single Podcast. And Chip, is this just for single people?
I would say a big hell no.
Why? Why?
Because think about it. How many of our friends are single and amazing?
Yes, we know some of those. Yes.
How many of our friends are also in a relationship that isn't so fabulous?
That they might not be in it forever?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That they're like,
yeah. Number those two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we're not saying, you know, you're all doomed, but, you know, if you're not single right now, this podcast might still apply to you if you become single in the future. And it just has really good dating advice and relationship advice.
She's awesome. She's so intelligent. Mm-hmm. Brianne is a writer.
Yes.
She has a ton of different skills and advice. Yes.
And a whole podcast on being single.
Yeah.
And I really like her perspective because it's, you know, she's not like, I know everything. It's more like, I'm still figuring it out. So why not interview a bunch of people about single life? So
she even says that in her bio. She's like, yo, I've written for all of these publications and I am still single, but she also knows how to date.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So everyone stay tuned. Okay, Chip, though, we're going on tour. What's up with that?
I'm excited to go on tour. We've always wanted to go on tour.
Yes.
Miss Amy.
We're going all over the country, just to say a couple cities. We're going to Philly. We're going to Portland. We will be in Chicago.
We'll be in New York as well.
Mm-hmm.
Seattle.
So how do they find out?
Okay,
more?
Go to shamelesssex.com. We're going to make it simple for you. Go to shamelesssex.com. Look at our events because we have an event page and you can see where we are and where you can come and hang out with us
we would love to see you.
Yes. Absolutely.
Also, just the last shout out right here. We still have a few spots left in our Shameless Sex Retreat. This is for vulva owners, for women. It's at the end of April 2024. So it's April 24th through 29th. Go to shamelesssex.com to learn more and sign up. We are so excited. Is it fucking April 24th
yet? I want to add to that. If you aren't sure about the podcast, but you have a partner, a wife, a girlfriend, a person that you want to send on the Shameless Sex Retreat, we have heard from every single human, every single woman that went in our last Costa Rica retreat that their sex life got better. Mm-hmm. Their life got better. We don't make that shit up. There are testimonials. We did two IG lives in March that testified with real people. So if you're feeling compelled to send your partner because you want to have a better sex life, then just do it like Nike says.
Do it like Nike.
Just do it like Nike.
All right, ready for a sex question?
I am so ready.
Okay, so you recently talked about water pumps that help make your dick bigger and harder. Can you explain more about how they work? Also, which ones should I try?
That's a good question. Okay, so remember Dr. Gittins?
Uh-huh, yes.
We had him on the show a couple weeks ago, and he was adamant about talking about
Bathmate
product,
mm-hmm.
which so, we love as well.
Yeah, so this person's talking about the Bathmate hydro pump, and within the Bathmate family, there's a lot of different hydro pumps, but they're talking about this. It's the only company that's FDA-regulated hydro pumps. So what you do, if you want to know, first of all, why water? So you would fill this up with water. If you're not watching, we have this on YouTube and Instagram. You would fill this up with water, put it on your dick.
Okay, well, I want to talk about this because my partner was like, hey, I can't use the Bathmate pump because we don't have a bathtub. And I was like, no, you can. You can. You just fill it up with water. And he's like, are you sure?
Yeah, and it doesn't have to have a bathtub.
Which is awesome because you can use it anywhere. Just your sink. You can be like,
yeah,
and with warm water, boom.
A bathtub is great, but the shower works just fine. And the reason why you use water, so you fill up with water, and water is a consistent, a very like solid, consistent element. And so what it does is it makes things thicker, spongier, bigger, harder
for that tissue, that fleshy tissue.
So we were talking a little bit about this, but what you do with the Bathmate pump, which again, this listener heard about, is you fill it up with water, you warm water ideally because it feels nicer. You slide your diaka in there and you compress it to the pelvis, and that creates a vacuum seal. And then you leave it on for like 3 minutes-ish. Then you release the valve. There's one on the end, a little release valve. And it's recommended that you use it 3 to 5 times a week, depending on what you're looking for. Are you looking for like, you know, longevity? Because like for some people, they said it has given them more orgasm control, more ejaculatory control. You want it like a thicker cock?
Fuller cock.
Today you want to be all like big. Another day you want to be some other variation of big small.
They also have, you measure your cock and you can get the right size pump for you, which I think is important because no matter your size, you can figure out what pump is right for you.
I'm fucking a rainbow dick right now. If everyone's like, what is happening?
Which I love. I love when you pump.
And they also, though, so another nice thing about Bathmate is they have a risk-free 100% money-back guarantee for 60 days. So you have nothing to lose.
That's 2 months, dude.
Yeah, nothing to lose. You go and try this out. It's not your jam, then they will take care of you.
Okay, the other cool thing about Bathmate is that for you that are listening, you can get, just for you, to Shameless Sex listeners, 10% off your first order from Bathmate. Just go to bathmatedirect.com/shamelesssex and get 10% off your first Bathmate order. They don't offer this to everyone.
Nope.
Again, if you want to get 10% off your very first order, that's money back guarantee from Bathmate, go to bathmatedirect.com/shamelesssex. Get a Bathmate pump. I know my partner is going to use one right now. Shower, 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 bath.
All right.
Bath.
Anyways, moving on.
Okay. Okay. Are you ready for a bio?
Yes.
All right. Brianne Hogan is a Canadian writer, author, and podcast host. She has written for over 60 publications, including The Washington Post, the BBC, Elle Canada, Men's Health, and BuzzFeed. Ironically, however, she's been single for most of her adult life, which is why she started the podcast, Seriously Single. Listen to her podcast on your favorite app or find her personal writing on her Substack, briannehogan.substack.com.
All right, everyone, it's interview time, and we are here today with Brianne Hogan from the Seriously Single podcast, and we are very excited about this episode. Why, you might ask? Well, so single people, well, there's a lot of them, and here's the thing. If you're not a single person, which our top demographic are people that are long-term partnered over a year, guess what? You might be single again someday. And I would normally do the dun, 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 but we're going to talk about why being single is also awesome. It's like, it's not like a curse, like the curse of being single. So we are super excited for this episode. Brianne, welcome to our show. And we always start every episode with the same prompt. So I will give this same prompt to you, even though people already heard a little bit about you in our bio that we did in the intro before this. Can you tell us how you got to where you are today in the field of mostly relationships, dating, being single, but also maybe sex is a part of it?
Yeah, that's a good question. I started over 10 years ago. And I'm a freelance writer, so I love to write things that I'm very curious about and that I'm interested in. And I've always been very curious about relationships and dating, mainly because I haven't really been successful at it. So I used my journalism as kind of being an investigator of like, how could I get better at relationships and how could I learn more about sex? And yeah, I just used it as my own little experiment, actually. Like, my whole career has been my experiment of like, how can I learn more about myself and relationships?
You're like the guinea pig for your own, for your life. But that's also helpful. I feel like Amy and I do that with various things, like at least hormone stuff. Amy and I are the guinea pigs. We're like, everybody, this works, or everybody, this doesn't work, and other things as well. So I'm excited that you're on the show. We were on your show, I don't know, was it a couple of months ago?
I think it was just released, though.
It just came out in the beginning of March, but you guys came on around Christmas because there's a Christmas tree in my background. So
yeah, I remember that. Yeah, it was just great talking to you then. And we're like, let's have you on the show. So this episode is all about the single life. And as Amy said, not dun dun dun, but yay, the single life could be super fun. And call in Beyonce and all the single ladies, or when Justin Timberlake did his dance to that as well. Do you guys remember that? It was amazing. So shout out to all the singles out there and to people in relationships who just might be single again, because yeah, it can be inevitable. So let's start with society's judgments. Put down your gavels, Judge Judy's out there. Those folks that are judging people being single, what are some of the harsh criticisms single people face when they're in the single life?
I think it's we're lonely people. I think it's we're sad, we're pathetic. I think I like to dine alone, for example. I love to going out to a bar or restaurant alone. I think it's really fun. But the stigma is if you're alone at a bar, especially as a woman, you're pathetic. Like there's something wrong with you. Like, why are you alone? Why aren't you with somebody? Even like, why are you even with a friend? Like even the whole concept of a woman being by herself is strange to people. And it makes people feel uncomfortable for some reason. And I don't really understand it, because it's 2024. And I feel like, you know, we should be celebrating women who want to be independent and who feel strong and capable. But yet without a partner, there's still that stigma of, yeah, but why doesn't she have anyone? Like, what's wrong with her?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Another one that would go with that, which is similar to what you said, would be, you know, all single people are always looking for a partner, right? Like, right. You know, no one wants to just be single because it's so sad and lonely. You know, everyone wants to find a partner, get married and live the happily ever after. And I think that's all lovely. But some people, and I've been one of those people at times, love being single at times. Some people like being single for many years. Some people want to be single. April, you're just talking about like the ultimate bachelor in their 50s.
It's oh, like, yeah. For real, though. It's a thing. I love eating out by myself, by the way, even when I'm partnered. But I love date nights with myself going out. And there are people that look and they're like, is it just one? And I'm like, I wonder if they mean that in a nice way. So that came up for me when you said that.
Yeah.
And I think that there can be a lot of really good things, and we'll get to that as well. So actually, let's just dive in. So what, in your opinion, is the truth about being single? The good, the bad, the ugly, the fancy, the gorgeous, you know, like what, you know, what is being single? What can it be like?
Well, for me, I think being single has been like the most empowering time of my life. Like, not to say that it hasn't been sad, and not to say that I haven't wanted to be partnered or that I haven't dated or been with somebody, but I think when you're single, it's like a really rich time for you to get to know you. And I know for me, without any distraction of being worried about whether a guy's texted me back or some, like, you know, drama that I can create when I'm in a relationship with someone, without that, I just have myself to really get to know. And I think the best relationship you can have in life is the one that you have with yourself. Because if you have a really strong relationship with you, then if you do want to be partnered, I think that only adds to your partnership. And I think it can be like a healthier one if you have a healthy relationship with yourself. So for me, the best part is, yeah, getting to know myself. Like, I think we know ourselves, but do we? Like, you know, sometimes that's like, we think it's a given, but I think when you're alone and you can really like ask yourself some deep questions, which I've have, and I was like, I didn't know that about myself, or this is a pattern of mine. So I think like having that time with myself has been really good for me to be like, okay, like let's look in the mirror, Brianne, and let's like get honest about like who you really are by yourself, you know?
Oh yeah. I think that there's a difference between being alone and loneliness, right? Mm-hmm. Loneliness feels like this empty, like, what's wrong? Where are my people? But being alone can be really liberating. You can learn so much about yourself, what you like to eat. If you want to leave dishes or your bed unmade, you know, you want to leave your house messy. Or if you're like a proper OCD human like myself, that I'm like, why am I cleaning all of this shit? I have lived alone for like, you know, like no one's going to come to my house anytime soon. And yeah, I'm militant about making my bed too. I think those pieces are getting to know you. What do you like? Because you can bring those into a relationship, I assume, into the future, right? So let's talk about this, because I think this being alone is important, but I want to hear, do you think it's important for most folks in their adult lives to have a point of being single? Or do you think that it should be celebrated? Should it be scary? Like, yeah, can you just talk more about that?
I definitely think everyone should be single at some point. I really, really do. There's something to be said about, I mean, look, I've never been the type of person to jump from relationship to relationship. So I don't know what that's like. So I can't speak for those people. I think I am like the opposite of like people, because I'm like usually like, oh, I'll be alone rather than choose to be in a partnership. So, and that's a whole other bag of monkeys, because I'm like, because I'm like, I think there's some stuff going on with me in that regard. But I will say, I think when you're alone, how amazing is it to be like, I can, like, for example, I had gum surgery and I had to go, it was the middle of the pandemic, and I had to go to the doctors, drive myself to the surgery, take care of myself, and not rely on someone. Like, I think it was scary and it's not what we think is normal. But then at the end of the day, I was like, I can do that for myself. Like, I can take care of myself. And I think that's a great asset to have, like when you can really like wake up in the morning and you're like, I can take care of myself. Like, no matter what happens in this day, I know that I can be capable enough to like really nurture myself and to be there for myself and to not seek that kind of care or nurturing from other people. Not that that's not important, but I don't think we should rely on other people to always do that for ourselves.
Yeah, I want to emphasize the always part. Like, I think that at least for me, it's been, you know, I have a little bit of a nourishment barrier about asking for help, right? I'm like, you know, if I'm sitting on one side of the bed, my partner's on the other side, and there's something on their side that I would like, I don't ask. I actually just go and get it myself. But they could just move their arm to get it. And they're like, you know, why didn't you just ask? I was like, oh yeah, I'm an only child. I am very self-sufficient. It's some old, I'll call it wounding. And also it's a gift, right? Because like, I know how to take care of me. Spent a lot of time off and on, like, you know, under 18. Very alone and lonely at times. But what I can say about the times when I have been like hardcore single, when I say hardcore, I mean like a good year, right, of like being single and living the single life. I found that for me, one of the best ways to embody that or like feel really comfortable in that was not like all this focus on finding the partner or the love or, you know, dudes all over the place. It was my social circle. It was my activities. It didn't have to always involve people. It was, you know, what keeps me alive, what sparks my life. And then having people that, you know, you don't need like a whole pack of people, but anyways, so I'm curious about this part. So the single and stoked, because I've felt that. Like, I remember that moment in, this one stands out for me, being single for like a year in my late 20s or something, and feeling this moment of like, oh my God, I am so okay on my own two feet. Yes, someday I want partnership. Like, that's great. But I feel so good right here. There's no like longing, or like April said, loneliness. So I'll identify with that as single and stoked. So here's my question. And I know for you, you have had a hard time finding partners, but I'm sure you have, or I'm sure, I'm guessing you've had times where you've been single and stoked. How can single people become single and stoked? Are there any steps, or what does it take to love single life?
Well, I'm also an only child too. So I feel like that kind of gives me like a one up on things, because as an only child, like, as you know, like, we're always by ourselves. So I think it comes more naturally for me. So I will say that as like a caveat, because I'm just like, I understand like not everyone is very comfortable with that. But in order to be single and stoked, I feel like you should be doing the things that you want to do. I think there's just like this notion of, well, I'll go on that trip when I'm with a partner, or I'll make this cross-country move when I'm with somebody, or even if it's not even with a partner, like with a friend. And I think there's something like really cool of like just making that decision and doing it just for you. You know, like if you wanted to go to Europe and you've never been, well, book a ticket and go. Like, just do something that you've always wanted to do. Or even if it's like, even if it's taking like a gym class or a fitness class, and people are always like, oh, I don't know anybody, I need to go with somebody. Well, it's something that you're really like jazzed about. Go. Like, you just like, I think it's just like filling your life up with the things that like are really exciting to you. And not waiting for someone to do it with. I think there, a lot of people can get caught up in like, well, I don't know anybody, or I don't have anyone, and so I'm not going to do it. And it's like, why? Like, why are you going to put your life on hold when your life is like right now? And the ironic thing, I think, is like, the more you do the things that are really fun to you, you're going to attract people in your life. Like, you're going to meet somebody, whether it's a friend or a partner or a lover, because you're so in your vibe of like what makes you happy, and you're not waiting for anyone else to make those decisions for you. So I know for me, like, I've done those things. Like, I love to travel solo. I've moved across the country twice, and it's been the best experiences for me. And I've like grown from them, you know?
Oh yeah. You grow from them, and you actually become, I think, a more resilient human, because you're self-sufficient and you're relying on your own instincts instead of the group or another human.
Time for a quick break so we can tell you about our carefully chosen sponsors.
Please stay tuned and buy their products, because we only tell you about what we love and what we truly believe in, and it helps keep this podcast free to you.
Ready to bring on the fun by adding some newness into the bedroom with some of our absolute favorite sex toys from Fun Factory? We talk about them all the time because we've loved and played with their toys for years. And it really just doesn't get any better than Fun Factory. And they just launched one of the most amazing vibrators on the market, the Vim, a high-powered wand, which literally makes all my wands feel like ancient news. Chip, I'm pretty sure you're addicted to your new Vim, aren't ya?
I can't use anything else. I'm not kidding, y'all. The Vim is amazing. I've always loved Fun Factory. In fact, the very first vibrator I ever used was from Fun Factory, gifted to me by you, Amy. Thank you. They make incredible sex toys like butt plugs, dual stim vibrators, dildos, thrusting vibes, kegel balls, something for everyone. And everything is made from the best materials on the market. And guess what else? You have a special opportunity to bring more fun into your bedroom, because Fun Factory is offering our listeners 20% off their entire site when you go to us.funfactory.com and use code SHAMELESS at checkout. Again, that's us.funfactory.com and code SHAMELESS at checkout to get 20% off their entire site. Go have some fun for us, for yourself, for you in the bedroom or wherever you choose, and check out what Fun Factory has to offer right now. Trust us, it will blow your mind. I've actually traveled by myself quite a bit, like within my breakups, and I always go on self discovery missions, right?
Yeah, across Thailand, the globe. Girl, I went to Thailand. You got wild in Thailand.
I went to Thailand. I was in Australia for like a month by myself.
You got wild in Australia.
I've been to a lot of like amazing places. I did. You know what? But this is not about that, because it can be an opportunity. You can look at being single as an opportunity, and there could be a safety thing for some folks. I've heard other women be like, I cannot believe you traveled by yourself to this place.
Interrupt, yeah. just with our sort of the shameless sex retreat that we did last
in November, Costa Rica.
Yeah, in Costa Rica, and we're doing another one at the end of April. And this is not necessarily like a shameless sex retreat plug, but it gave the opportunity for people who wanted to go. Like, the last one's Costa Rica. I want to go to Costa Rica. I have, you know, friends or married with kids or whatever. Like, I don't have anyone to go with, whether I'm single or partnered. My partner doesn't want to go, or we have kids, so someone needs to stay home. And so it gave them the opportunity to go in a safe way and still go and just be wild and free. Mm-hmm. Like, those opportunities, even outside of shameless sex, exist.
They do. You could do a yoga retreat. You could do a million different kinds of retreats to meet new people and new friends. And you could do a woman only if you're a vulva owner out there. If you're a dude, there's lots of men retreats. If there's something for everyone, really. So, but bringing it back to my question, because I know a lot of folks that have been single maybe for some time, and it's a valid question to ask, like, how do you navigate the world of casual sex? If you're like, I'm comfortable with being single, I might want to stay single for a while, or I'm not interested in meeting anyone right now. I'm really working on myself, or I'm really enjoying this part of my life. But it can be difficult to navigate sex. I mean, STIs are a real fear, and they're a real fear for a reason. And it's not like you're broken or you should be ashamed if you have an STI or you get one because you didn't protect yourself properly. But this episode isn't about that. My question here is, how can folks that want to be single and are enjoying being single, how can they navigate this world of casual sex in a way that won't like drive them into getting into a relationship? And I'm sure you have some tips, so I'm just curious. Do they need a sexual screening? Like get their charts done?
I think everyone should always get tested. So for sure. And, you know, those conversations, as you guys know, is not very easy to have, but read your book because there's tips in that.
Thank you.
Tips on casual sex. Well, I wish I was more of an expert on that because I usually always fall for the person that I'm sleeping with.
Okay. So let's put this around then, because I think this is a good perspective then. So you're single, you have sex with someone that could or could not be casual. You fall for them kind of like regardless of if they're a good match or not.
Yeah. I mean, this is something that I've had to figure out on my single journey as I've been alone and been like, okay, like you gotta figure some shit out, Brianne. Like what's one or the other? So like, yes, I have been in casual relationships with men and we're having sex. And then I'm like, yeah, you know, I just want to have sex with him. And then it keeps going on and it keeps going on. And then it's like, oh, you know what? Like, I kind of like him, or do I like him? Or is it the oxytocin? I don't know. But then I get, you know, confused. And then all of a sudden there's feels and there's been zero communication as to what exactly we're doing, what exactly this is, what was my expectations, what were his expectations. So Brianne today is no longer doing that because that was not healthy for Brianne. And then I would get myself into like very like crying and just like, just not a good space.
Kind of like anxiety, so, anxiousness stuff.
Yes. Yeah. Like I already have an anxiety attachment anyway. So like for me being in a casual relationship without any sort of like clear communication boundaries was not good for my nervous system, like whatsoever. Cause it was like, oh, I don't know, maybe we should date. Why aren't we dating? So now when I think of like, for example, hooking up with someone, I'm like, okay, I have to be very clear as to what are my expectations with this person? Do I have feelings for them? Like I have to be honest about what it exactly is that I'm looking for. And I think it's really easy to lie to yourself actually. And to think like, oh, maybe I just want casual sex.
I'm fine. I'm fine.
Yeah. Like maybe I just want to hook up, but do you, or are you really looking for a relationship? Because it depends on obviously like, you know, you, but I think it's easy to really fool ourselves and be like, yeah, it's not a big deal. Like I can just do this. Like I'm alone. I'm single. I can just casually hook up with someone. And some people are great at that and they're equipped to do it. And then some people aren't. And then that's just being like true to who you are and what you can handle.
And wait, Brianne, what about the games though people play? Because this is something we haven't addressed yet. And this is something that my single, at least my girlfriends that are single, they get anxiety about. Some of them lose sleep about. They're like, do I text him, April? Do I text him like 3 times? Or do I wait 3 days? Or I'm like, bro, I don't think there is an actual rule book for this. But like, that is a scary thing. Yeah. You don't want to be over communicative, but you don't want to under communicate. So what the fuck do you do?
I know. I just had this conversation with a girlfriend today because I was texting a guy and I was like, he hasn't texted me back. And I was like, okay, Brianne, like who gives a shit? Like who cares? Like he doesn't text you back. Whatever. Let it go. It's not a big deal. And just like, if he wants to text you back, he can text you back. Like, I think it's not playing into those games because, and this is what being on my own has really helped me a lot, is like knowing my worth and knowing like that I'm like a catch. So if this guy doesn't want to text me back, oh, well, you know, like, and also the games are, I think that's just a sign of anxiety. True. And also like, if you don't want to be involved in a game, then don't, like, just be straight up with somebody. And I feel like we're not being as honest with people as we can be. Like, if someone's not going to like, want to be with you because you're texting them the double text that nobody wants to do, which is like such bullshit, then like, don't be with that person. Like if someone's guy's not going to be with me because I texted him twice in a row. Okay. Like that's fine.
Wait, what about the cut and paste texts too that are annoying that you know they probably sent out to all their side hoes? You're like, whoa, hey.
You'll and see like one word where you're like, that was not meant for me, but okay.
Hi, how are you? And you're like, can you get more specific?
Or the cut and paste videos of like dick shots or like whatever, which April, I think we talked about it in many podcasts, so we don't need to go into that, but that happens too.
Well, that happened to me last summer. I wrote actually an essay about the good morning text because I hate the fucking good morning text when you're just seeing somebody. I think it's annoying. I don't think it's genuine. I think it's a ploy to like get someone like into your head. So I wrote this whole thing because I was seeing some guy I met in France I came back to Canada. We were still talking and he was good morning, good morning, good morning. And then
it's a lot of good mornings.
A lot of good mornings. Only for his actual girlfriend getting his phone and texting me and being like, I'm his girlfriend.
Not good morning.
Why are you texting Michael? Why are like, I was like, I had no idea he had a girlfriend. And then she showed me screenshots of him texting her good morning with the same selfie that he would send me. Like it was literally the copy and paste. And I was like, yeah, so it happens.
That sounds like a him problem though. It just, it's like, I mean, and also like their relationship dynamic, you know, he's the one who's like in April and I have a very open mind about cheating affairs, you know, extracurricular activities that are not part of the negotiation, your monogamy. And so, and we're not saying that anyone should do that. We're big on integrity. And I want to bring this to the piece about games. So at least for me, I'd say I'd done a lot of work to tap into my intuition, but I think there's a lot more work to do. Like I'm not a witch or anything, everyone. I'm not like intuitive, but when I feel, so if there's something I'm like, okay, should I text this person right now? If I slow down and like really feel into my body and if I don't have the answer, I just let it sit. And right. I used to not do that. I'd be anxious. I'd be like, I'm going to text him anyways, or like, or I'm going to play games. And now I'm like, okay, if I don't have the answer right now, it's not clear, but it feels a little ambiguous. So I'm just going to let it sit. And it might sit for a couple hours. It might sit for a day. And that feels a little empowering to my anxiety because I have a secure attachment style with anxious tendencies, which is like, can be pretty, they can take over the system.
But that, Amy, but that's the question people are always asking. How long do you wait?
Till you have an answer. Till you have a legit answer.
That's a great solution. But people get really tripped up about this. So I think that's a really important tool right there that probably is going to be hard for some people. Yeah, like, I know for me, I'm like,
we don't need to push something that we don't even fully understand quite yet. Like if that person decides that you didn't respond to them for 2 days and you're an asshole and they don't want to date you, then that's how it is. It took you that long to respond. Or if you need a response, it could be like, oh, hey, super busy right now. I just want to say hi. I'll get back to you when I can, or something. Like you could drop like a little bit of something.
What about good morning?
No, we're not. We're getting ready for good morning.
No, don't trust a guy.
Or what about good night every night? Good morning and good night.
I hate hi, how are you is my pet mother effing peeve. Like, please, Amy, don't ever text me that. I know you have it.
What's up, Chip? How you doing?
Yeah. I'm like, what do you mean? Is this something specific that you're asking? Anyway, Brian, do you feel that way about how are you? Is it just me and my personal hangups?
No, I think it's dry. I also don't like, hi, how was your day?
Like, I mean, it was great. What am I going to say?
Like, what's that? Like, exactly. It was good. Thank you.
Like, what about you?
Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm like, this is not like sexy. This is not like getting me to connect with you in any way. It's just boring. You know,
that's what you ask the cashier when you're shopping for groceries. You know, that's, you're like, April, hey, how was your day?
No. April's the only person I know that asks every person she sees, regardless of where you are, how
if I'm at the strip club, I ask the strippers, how's your day?
Yeah,
I'm like, are you having a good one?
So we come back to the casual sex thing. And I think this goes hand in hand with what you're saying, like the good morning or the good night. Like if you want to keep it casual, you probably don't message every day. Don't say good morning. Don't say good night. Don't like, I need to check in with this person, even though I'm not going to see them today, because you're just casual. So you don't need to say something to them, but don't be an asshole too. There's like an in-between. But let's bring this into, what if I'm single and I am looking for an LTR, a long-term relationship, right? Like I want that. And I think that this might, maybe, I heard you say, Brianne, that finding the long-term relationship that feels really aligned and right for you has been hard. So it sounds like you kind of want that. So maybe this is from a little bit of your stance. So when you're navigating sex and dating from this perspective, what have you seen in your own world that is easy, hard? You know, what have you learned? And then also from your listeners and other guests that you've had?
Yeah, I think it comes back to like knowing really what you want and what you are actually like ready for, which at the end of the day, though, I feel like I don't think you're ever really ready for a relationship. Like, I think you can say, you know, I am, but I think relationships are, especially if you've been single for a long time, they're going to be a huge change for you. And I think the tendency might be to like leave. It might be to self-sabotage. It might be to be like, I don't need this. I've been good on my own for 5 years. Like, I don't want this person sleeping in my bed. So I think it goes back to the piece of like knowing who you are and getting to know like exactly what you want and what you don't want in a partner. And for me, yeah, like I've had to really navigate that because I've been somebody who's been a bit of a people pleaser, who hasn't really been too clear as to what I wanted, who was involved with a situationship with my ex for too long. And like,
I had one of those, I know what that's like.
Mm-hmm. And just wanting it so badly to work out that like I self-abandoned myself and what I really truly wanted, because I thought that, you know, I put all my eggs in his basket for, you know, for example. So now on the other side of it, I'm very clear as to, okay, what are my red flags? Like what is it that I, when I see in a person that I'm like, okay, this isn't good. Cause I ignored a lot of red flags. Like I would ignore them and make excuses a lot of the time and give people the benefit of the doubt. And while people are people and no one's perfect, I think you can spot a red flag. I think we all know it. You were speaking about intuition. And I think intuitively we do know what a red flag is. We just kind of ignore them because we're so maybe like focused on this dream that we want with a particular person, or if we want a relationship really badly, we're like, well, this is my only shot at love. And then we, you know, we'll like do all sorts of crazy things that we don't really want to do, or we'll like continue dating someone because we're not strong enough to say no. So I think that's, for me, was really important to like, again, knowing my worth and knowing like, oh no, I'm worth someone who can give me all the things that I want. So I don't have to settle for this guy and his breadcrumbs, which is what I was used to. So yeah. I think that's important piece of it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Time for a quick break to talk about one of our sponsors who just so happens to be our absolute favorite lube, Uber Lube. Uber Lube is a luxurious silicone lubricant and it enhances intimacy. It's there when you want it and it blends in when you're done with it. So you have control over that lube. It's long lasting and leaves the skin extra velvety. And honestly, y'all, I want it all over my body. Thousands of doctors in the U.S. are recommending Uber Lube to their patients. It's body friendly, less likely to change the pH, and it has vitamin E, so it feels extra moisturizing.
There's a reason why we've been a fan of Uber Lube for years. There's no flavor or scent. It's even great for oral sex, everyone. But it's not just great for sex. You can use it for massage, your hair. You can prevent chafing. It even brings out the colors of your beautiful tattoos. And the bottle is absolutely gorgeous. It looks more like a cosmetic, so you can leave it anywhere shamelessly for easy access. Just go to uberlube.com and use the discount code SHAMELESS10 to get 10% off and free shipping. Again, that's uberlube.com right now with code SHAMELESS10 for 10% off and free shipping. This podcast is also brought to you by OMGS.com. Join over 1 million people who are experiencing more pleasure with OMGS. They take scientific research of thousands of vulva owners showing techniques to pleasure that pussy. They turn this research into tasteful, educational short videos, animated modules, and infographics. OMGS is for anyone who wants to learn about vulva pleasure or take it to the next level. Want to take your orgasms from good to out of this world? Then check out OMGS. Or if you're a vulva lover and want to up your pussy pleasuring skills, then you need to check out OMGS.
I've personally been recommending OMGS to my clients for years, and it's completely changed their lives. They have three seasons: external pleasure, internal pleasure, and sex toys. It's not a subscription service, and you don't need to download a thing. OMGS also makes a fabulous gift, and your purchase supports more pleasure research. So just go to omgs.com/shameless to get 10% off right now. Again, that's omgs.com/shameless to receive 10% off, unlimited access towards enhancing your pleasure power. The link is in the episode's description.
I think that's so important to talk about the red flags. And I'm going to bring up this show that I'm obsessed with, and I hate myself for being obsessed with it, but The Love is Blind. It's like, it's a sick addiction for me. And I do not do reality TV shows. And I don't know, Brianne, if you've ever seen it, but it's like this whole, they're in these pods. They can't see the actual physical appearance of these people. And it's mostly, it's all heterosexual folks, and it's in different cities. Anyway, long short of it is that the red flag thing, like they don't see each other, they fall in love, there's a lot of forceful things like they have to do, and like, you know, 10 days you have to propose to someone, and then they're dating 15 people, right? And so they don't know their race, their religious factors, they don't know their, like, if they're a healthy they don't know what they look like, because they're not allowed to talk about the physicality. However, there are some couples that do end up getting married at the end of the show. And it's like very romantic, but I get involved in the red flag factor when I'm like, bro, that is a red flag. Or like, dude, are you serious? Like, come on. We're like, well, we worked it out, you know, because they actually see each other and then they start being in the real world with each other after living in these pods. So the red flag thing is hard though, because some people, I think, are unwilling perhaps to admit that, like, I'm one of those people. I want everybody to fit into the categories that I'm like, I sometimes force them in my brain to fit into. I'm like, no, I think that he just does that maybe sometimes, but that probably isn't really how he is, right? I'm like, oh, and it's not like I want to change anyone. I'm long overdue or long past changing people, but it's the red flags that come up that are really the foundational pieces, yeah. In my opinion. I want you to speak to yours. In my opinion, it's those foundational pieces. Like, if they really want children and you don't, perhaps that's something that won't change. If they are really into gaming and you hate it, it drives you nuts. That could be a red flag. If they,
I want to say to everyone, a red flag doesn't mean there's anything wrong with anyone. This is an alignment issue.
Right.
Foundational. Right. So are there, and we have to wrap up, and that I just wanted to bring up the red flag, because this is a very important part, because some people are so red flagged about, oh, he swallows weird when he chews. That's a red flag. Or she wears really, really ugly shoes. That's a red flag. And I'm like, what? No, that's not. But that is, can you speak to this?
Yeah.
Like, come on.
Well, I think that's the ick, right? People are now, it's about the ick factor. And I think, yeah, that's, to me, is a little too much. I think it's being too judgmental. And I actually think that's a you thing, not a they thing. Yeah. Like, I, you know, if someone chews too loudly, but they have all the other great qualities that you want in a partner, I'm like, well, you might want to just, you know, maybe just be okay with the chewing. You know,
it feels like a little self-sabotage-y to me, right? Like, if you're going to look at this little thing, but they have all these other things, like, oh no, they don't chew the way I like. It's not like, oh, I just, you know, like I just love being single. More like, well, no, that one's not good enough. So like, this shows me why all the people are not good enough, blah, 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 blah. Like, it's feeding into that belief.
Yeah, I think so. And I also think you have to be realistic about people. Like, not everyone's perfect.
No.
Like everyone has their things. You do, like I do. Oh, and yeah.
My showering has pissed off partners of past.
Or lack thereof, you mean?
That's what I'm saying. My showering habit.
This isn't about me, but I'm saying people are like,
yes, I do. So, but like certain things, I'm like, should that be a make or break? I don't stink, right?
Right,
like,
right. Yeah, like
she doesn't. I just made a face, but she totally doesn't.
I mean,
I'm not munching your box, so.
So, I mean, but like, is that enough for people to not be with you? I don't think so, all right? So, I mean, same with me. I mean, I don't think I'm the tidiest person, but I would hope that if I had all the qualities that somebody would want, they'd be like, yeah, you know, she's not the tidiest, but I like her anyway. You know, like, we're all going to have stuff. So I think red flags are what you said, like, they're not compatible with what you want in your ideal relationship. And, you know, like, for example, I was dating someone and all he wanted to do was rock climb. Well, I don't rock climb. But I was like, okay, like maybe I'll learn. And I was like, but I don't want to learn. But I was going to, because I thought, well, I really wanted it to be this guy. And it's not him, because I would never rock climb in my life. So it's just, that's just an example of like, it doesn't have to be like, oh, he doesn't have the same politics as me. It can be as simple as like, are you someone who likes to go outdoors every weekend? Because if you're not, that's probably not the relationship for you.
Yeah, that's good advice. Yeah. And Amy, I want to say something after you because it's really important, but I want to hear what you have to say because I know you have something. Okay, good. Because Amy and I aren't together in the studio today, but and if y'all are watching YouTube, you can see us separately, but equal. But like, one thing that I never thought would be a red flag, and I don't know if anyone at home or if either of you two feel anything about this, but my ex-husband, I don't want to call him out, but his dietary, like his food restrictions were really...
He's a picky eater.
Avid. Yes. He was a very picky eater.
I know. I love going. Blessings. Yeah.
Blessings. And nothing was wrong with that, but it started to drive me fucking mad. Like I was like,
but you're a foodie and an adventurous eater.
And I love eating. And he'd be like, I just need hamburgers and chicken tenders. And I'm like, I can't eat that all the time. And so you wouldn't think that's a red flag. And I never wanted, it wasn't the reason that we didn't, you know, make it as a couple, but there are things that can be more trivial. And that has become an important factor when I was seeking partners in the future. And so I just wanted to speak to that too, because sometimes things could be trivial. Like if a dude doesn't put down the toilet seat all the time for me, I'm not going to break up with him over it, but I am going to be like nagging, and that can feel really empty. So that's what I wanted to say.
I want to draw attention to there's a red flag, which to me, so, and this is not perfect science, everyone. This is not like, you know, in the textbooks. This is just like my perspective. Red flags are like the deal breakers, right? They're like, you know, so I like April, you said this earlier, like say I want kids and you don't, that's a major red flag. That is something that is definitely going to be a thing in the future. Yeah. An orange flag could be like what you're talking about. You know, you're kind of a picky eater. You don't like to eat anything outside of chicken tenders or whatever that is. And so later on, this is going to be an annoying or difficult thing for us to meet each other, but it might not be the full deal breaker of the relationship. And the other thing I was going to say before you started talking to April was just, it seems like there's a spectrum, right? On one side, people are like, they have their checklist and they're looking for all the red flags. And then they kind of stay alone because they find all the reasons why no one is perfect, because no one is perfect. On the other side, which you were talking about, Brianne, we have the people that are like, I just want relationships, so I'll take whatever I can, you know, breadcrumbs. And in the middle, we can have an experience or experiences where, okay, red flags, obviously not a good fit. And like you said, April, you don't want to get into a relationship changing someone. But if there's orange flags there, like, okay, so you're a picky eater, talk about it before y'all fall in love. You know, like, hey, so I know you're a picky eater, like you're particular about the things you eat, but would you go to with a restaurant like this with me and just like try, would you ever do that? Like try the things that you don't normally eat? Cause I really like that. Like, would you ever be open to that and check that out before you fall in love and get married and have the babies?
Yeah.
Question mark.
I think so. Yeah. Well, I think it always goes back to communication, which I think is like the huge piece of dating that is lacking for a lot of people. And myself included, I'm still working. I have a dating coach. We work on communication with me because I'm not great at communicating. I'm a writer, but I'm, which is a different
part. Not all writers are great at communicating, though. You're good at writing.
Like that's, I'm good at writing, but like the other types of communication, not so much. And that's just something that, you know, it's just whatever. It is what it is. And I realize that about myself. And that's why I'm like, oh, I want to improve that, because communication or lack thereof, that's what's gotten me stuck in situations where I haven't really been seen or heard in a relationship, or it hasn't really helped me in dating, where I haven't been able to really communicate to a guy, hey, I like you. Would you like to go on a date with me? You know, like those are things that we need to work on if you want to have successful relationships, is like good, clear communication. So, mm-hmm.
And I think this will go hand in hand.
Communication. Always, right? Amy, it's always communication, communication, communication. You're like, eye roll, but it's true.
Emily Moore says, communication is lubrication, and it's true. Yeah. So it is. And people are like, oh God, always comes communication. Okay, so I think that goes hand in hand with our last question for you. What would Brianne today tell Brianne in her teens and early 20s about dating and relationships?
Little baby Brianne. Oh, eight pounds, six ounces. Yeah, baby Brianne.
I think I would tell her that, I mean, this is very personal for me, but I would say that it's been very important for me to learn that I am a good catch, that I am worthy of someone's time. And that it's, you know, like, it's a privilege to talk to me, and it's a privilege to sleep with me, and it's a privilege to date me. And it's not me. So yeah, it's not me like, oh my God, I can't believe he hasn't texted me back. Or, oh my God, he did text me back. Like, no, that's not the vibe. The vibe is like, you get to choose who you want to be with. You get to choose who you want to fuck. You get to choose who you want to date, and you're worth whomever you choose. So like, the world's your fucking oyster. So that's what I would say to her.
Oh, that's a good one. I think that that's great advice, because it really takes a lot of self-love to get to that place. And rejection can be so hard, right? And it's there's a lot of fear in that, because what's wrong with me? Why wasn't I the one? Why wasn't, right? So having that self-love to be like, I'm amazing. They're missing out. I'm sorry for them. Like, that sucks for them. I wish them blessings. I wish them the best. Peace and love.
Bless their heart.
Bless their little hearts. Thank you for that. And I think that is great advice. And unfortunately, we have to wrap up this interview. And the fortunate thing for everyone is that you have a podcast called The Seriously Single Podcast. And please talk about, I mean, people should check that out. We've been on the show. It just was released this month, which is March. This might air in April. However, it's 2024. So check that out. And also, please, Brianne, tell folks more about how they can find your work in general, your writing, your podcast, and if they want to find you on your handles or
in
like
Canada,
anywhere, or yeah, at your house, if they want to come and find you.
Yeah.
Yes, please share.
Yeah. My mailing address. I host a podcast called Seriously Single, and it's a space where we get to talk all about what it means to be single, all the good things and all the not so good things, because we all have our ups and downs as single people. But I really like to use it as a space where people can feel like they found their people if they're single. So you can find that podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. I also have a Substack newsletter, briannehogan.substack.com. And that's where you'll find most of my writing. I repost a lot of my old essays about dating and relationships, but I also post new stuff. And it's really, I use it kind of like an old school Tumblr. So I will just write like random stuff about what I'm going through and little like diary entries. And so that's a good space to find me. And then also on Instagram at Bree Hogan. And yeah, I think that's pretty much it.
I will have everything in the show notes with Bree, like B-R-I, right?
Brie.
Okay,
like cheese. Fromage.
Yeah, as in the cheese. Yep.
Okay, cool. But your name is spelled B-R-I-A-N-N-E, everyone, if you're confused. Yeah. Okay, cool. Just want shit, because I'm going to stalk you.
And Hogan, like Hulk Hogan. Okay, sorry, yeah. if that triggers anyone. But that's right. Well, cool. Thank you so much for being here with us on Shameless Sex and for sharing your story and your advice, because it's important and perspective is everything. So if y'all are listening, even if you're not single right now, this could be a great episode for friends that are or for your future self. So just continue to love yourself and continue to love Shameless Sex, because we love you so much. If you haven't checked out Shameless Sex, our book, you can choose your own pleasure path to find the ultimate sex life you've been waiting for.
Yeah.
It's everywhere books are sold. Brianne loved it. I'm not going to just speak for you, but she said that before. Okay. And she's a writer. So I think we're doing a good job.
That's a big deal. Shit.
It is a big deal. A lot of really smart people love the book. So thank you for that. If you did purchase the book, please rate us, because it helps more people find Shameless Sex. And we're small nuggets, you know, we're not a Kardashian. So we need your support and we appreciate your support. Also, rate the Seriously Single podcast. Listen to it. Give it 5 stars. Give us 5 stars too, because we love you. And we're going to see you next Tuesday, which I can't wait for. All right, Amy, I love you.
Chip,
I love
you. You're an 8-pound, 6-ounce baby, Amy. All right, y'all. Ciao for now.
Want to learn more? Go to shamelesssex.com. And for 15% off of some of our favorite sex toys, use coupon code SHAMELESSSEX at purepleasureshop.com.